Chapter 11, Merwin Rapid Research Subsystem. Advertising legend David Ogilvy said, "Business people who ignore research are as dangerous as generals who ignore decodes of enemy signals." Before we begin, an explanation. I must admit that as the founder of the innovation engineering movement, I have used my position to name the research subsystem after my father, Merwin Bradford Hall. I did this because without his insistence that I learn Dr. Deming's principles, there would be no innovation engineering movement. I also did it because of my appreciation for what he did for me. My appreciation for what he taught me about life and business as I age. I chose research to honor my dad because research and enabling frontline employees to do the research themselves was very important to him. In a keynote speech he gave in 1981, he explained the importance of enabling workers. Quote, "All throughout our plant, we have eliminated quality control technicians. The operators do all of the testing and charting. By giving the tools to the workers, they get it right themselves instead of checking the product at the end of the process." So that's where the name came from. You are welcome to use it in his memory, or simply call this subsystem Rapid Research. So with a toast to my dad of 18-year Macallan whiskey, his favorite, we begin. Why is Rapid Research important? Rapid Research builds our courage to innovate. Real feedback gives us courage to be bold. Rapid Research drives teamwork. Fact-based decisions create consensus and alignment. Rapid Research makes us smarter. Data enables smarter decisions that reduce risk. Rapid Research dissolves politics. Truth conquers ego-driven opinion. Rapid Research energizes. Confirmation that ideas are meaningfully unique ignites passion. Our ideas for innovations are theories of what might work. Rapid Research fuels the do and the study of our plan-do-study-act cycles of learning. Rapid Research is usually conducted with the customer for the innovation. In the case of products or services, the customer is often one of the buyers of our offering. In the case of internal system innovations, the customer is also the stakeholders who are impacted by the new system. As I was taught at Procter & Gamble, research is an aid to your judgment. It is not a replacement for your judgment. For example, as the Innovation Engineering Institute team was developing the 3.0 version of IELabs.com, our board of advisors asked us to explore where we could reduce our scope. They asked the simple question, which of the subsystems has the lowest customer interest? The answer was easy. The data indicated that patents had the lowest engagement and interest among executives. Now, despite negative feedback from customers, I felt we needed to pursue the development of patent ROI that's described in the next chapter. I explained, it's good to be aware that executives don't see patents as important. However, I feel we need to lead in this area. It would be irresponsible for us to accelerate innovation and not provide systems to help turn the ideas into tangible capital assets through patenting. There was a quiet in the room. The customer data said stop. However, despite the client data, I, as the CEO, was saying to go ahead anyways. I went on to explain, I respect that this is not going to be easy. However, I feel it is still right to do, and in fact, in time, it could well be our most important contribution to the field of innovation. I waited for a response. The most experienced executive on the board, Dave Kilbury, then spoke. Quote, "You're right. Patents are in the new world. We need to lead on this. We have no choice. We are going to have to teach executives about patents, what they are and why they matter. And that is going to take time. We are just going to have patience." Thus, in this case, it made sense to continue to work on patent ROI, even though the customer saw it as not critically important today. Conservative companies invest time and energy in quantitative research. Leaders and managers at conservative companies understand that innovation has risk. They also understand that with risk comes reward. The fact is, the more new and different an idea is, the greater the risk of failure as well as reward. Conversely, the less new and different the innovation, the greater the likelihood that you're not going to get a big wow from customers, as well as not a big failure. Fortunately, we can reduce risk dramatically before we have to make major investments. Conservative cultures understand this, and as such are heavily invested in rapid research systems. Conversely, companies that are gamblers rely on judgment instead of customer data to make decisions. The goal of Merwin Rapid Research is to drive down risk before making major investments in new innovations. Five mind shifts for enabling the new mindset towards rapid research. In most organizations, customer research is used as a tool for controlling, not enabling, innovation. And when it comes to internal system innovations, virtually no research is ever conducted, especially quantitative research. Shift one, learning becomes the purpose of rapid research. With the new mindset, research is a tool for enabling learning. Research is frequent and fast. There is no stress in receiving a low test score, as it is part of the learning process. Projects that have never had a failure in rapid research are suspect, as the team is playing it safe. Decisions on projects are made through a combination of 1, strategic alignment, 2, forecast of impact, sales and profitability, and 3, research data from customers and stakeholders. Shift 2. The purposes of qualitative and quantitative research are not confused. The purpose of qualitative research is to gain understanding. From this comes fresh insights and ideas. The purpose of quantitative research is to confirm that the theories are statistically reliable. One of the easiest ways to reduce innovation risk is to use more quantitative research to aid your decision making. Shift 3, more small tests and less big tests. The new mindset involves lots of small, yet still statistically significant, that's important, statistically significant tests as innovations go from idea to reality. This is in contrast to the old approach of months of work, primarily qualitative, leading to a big make or break test. The big test being either a quantitative test or simply a senior leader's judgment on the innovation. Jim Bengel of Procter & Gamble's R&D department taught me this. He said, quote, "You learn more by running lots of small tests quickly, learning and adapting between each test, than you do by running big, slow, and expensive tests." Shift 4, fast, cheap, and easy. When research is fast, cheap, and easy, you can painlessly experiment with bolder, bigger ideas with less risk to your ego, budget, or reputation. Current quantitative research at companies is slow and expensive, with 72% of executives reporting that it takes a month or more to create and field research to get customer feedback on a new idea. The consequence of this slow cycle time is that we rely on opinions and judgment instead of factual learning. Here's the math on the existing way and the new way to do innovation research. Existing way, 3 months to design materials, field a test, and analyze results. This means you can do 4 cycles of learning a year. New way, 4 hours to design materials, field test, and analyze results. This means you can run 2 cycles of learning a day. If we assume 250 days, that means 500 cycles of learning a year. And that's for the slowest of the Merwin Rapid Research methodologies. The use of advanced artificial intelligence systems makes it possible to get data-guided feedback on ideas in microseconds. Shift 5. Quantify the end result, not simply the idea. The old mindset evaluated ideas. The new mindset evaluates the impact of the idea within a broader framework. For new or improved products or services, this means a sales forecast. When we evaluate the whole, we take into account the chain reaction of changes that occurs for each distinct idea. For example, research finds that ideas with a higher level of meaningful uniqueness amplify the impact of an equal marketing investment on awareness, distribution, and repeat rate. In the past, turning ideas into sales forecasts was painful. In today's digital world, it's painless to do forecasts for every idea. What customers can and can't tell you in research. Customers can't tell you what innovation to create for them. As Dr. Deming said, quote, "A customer can seldom say today what new product or new service would be desirable to him 3 years from now, or a decade from now. New products and new types of services are generated, not by asking the customer, but by knowledge, imagination, innovation, risk, trial, and error on the part of the producer, backed by enough capital to develop the product or service and to stay in business during the lean months of introduction." Did customers ask for the electric light? No, they never asked for it. The producer produced it. No one asked for a car nor a telephone. No one asked for a copy machine or a fax machine. Innovation does not come from the customers. Innovation comes from the producer, from people who are responsible for themselves and have only themselves to satisfy. What customers can do is react to ideas that you present to them. They can react to stimulus that is shown to them. They can score their likelihood to purchase and how new and different they perceive your idea to be. When reviewing customer feedback, it's important to remember that all customer results in research are overstated or understated. In a tracking study that involved over 4,000 customer reactions to new products, among those who say they definitely will buy, only 50 to 60% will actually end up buying. And among those who say they definitely won't buy, 15 to 25% may actually buy. Therefore, it's important that you use a system such as Merwin Rapid Research Tools that adjusts for overstatement and understatement. Designing for faster speed and lower cost. Most market research systems were created in an era of paper and pencil questionnaires and manual data analysis. When the digital world arrived, the old systems were translated to the digital world. Merwin Rapid Research is a rethink of how we do research. It's designed to enable speed of design, fielding, and analysis. Just a few of the things that we leverage in our IE Labs toolset and that you should consider in your research system. The first, designing questions to reduce sampling error by a factor of 4. The most common survey format uses a 5-box response system, asking consumers if they definitely would buy, probably, might or might not buy, probably not buy, or definitely not buy. Analysis is done based on a population proportion approach in which you review the percentage of customers saying definitely would buy, top box, or definitely plus probably would buy, top 2 box. With Merwin Rapid Research, we recommend using the average value on a 0 to 10 probability scale in which 0 equals definitely not buy and 10 equals definitely would buy. We do this because it allows us to use a smaller sample size to get the same level of sampling error. Specifically, if you do the math on sampling error on a population proportion versus an average or mean, you find it takes about 4 times more respondents with a population proportion test to get the same sampling error as the mean on a 0 to 10 scale. I recognize that this may not sound right to those who don't have a love of statistics. To validate it for yourself, pull out your college statistics book and look up sampling error for a population proportion, percent rating above a certain level, and the sampling error for an average or mean value. Then solve the equations for sampling size at the same sampling error. Eureka, as we say, it takes about 4 times more people with percent top box to get the same reliability. Of course, in both cases, you need a high-quality random sample. 2. Build automated systems for cross-tab correlations and data analysis. Yesterday, it took days and weeks to do statistical analysis. Today, we've built into IELabs.com automated analysis of results. The result is instant statistical significance and one-click exploration of response by various groups of respondents. 3. Leverage artificial intelligence systems to provide smarter feedback. The technology exists today to read ideas and to give feedback on them. 4. Model the uncertainty of data. All research data has uncertainty. The classic approach to reducing uncertainty is to use very large base sizes. This results in high cost and slows development time. The alternative is to use the same risk-adjusted modeling that is done in the financial world. It's called Monte Carlo simulation. As detailed previously, it's a simple system in which you enter the mean and uncertainty, be it standard deviation or best and worst case, for each measured and estimated input. Your innovation is then introduced through the simulation into the virtual market 10,000 times, resulting in 10,000 estimates of what will happen. This analytical technique enables you to find the collective impact of the various data points you've gathered through your rapid research. 5. Keep it simple. If you want to understand consumer perceptions of problems, ask questions using simple language. For a series of possible problems customers might have with your product or service, ask how big and how frequent each problem is. If you want to know how meaningfully unique they perceive your offering, ask purchase intent on a 0 to 10 scale and uniqueness on a 0 to 10 scale. Then multiply the average purchase score by 60% and the average uniqueness score by 40%. Add them together to get the best overall rating. We call this the overall meaningful uniqueness rating, or 60-40 score. Research is our friend. Sometimes managers are scared to do research on their innovation for fear that they will fail. A number of years ago, I was asked by a senior leader at a Fortune 50 company to meet with an innovation team to figure out why they were struggling with development. The company had invested in a couple of years of R&D, and management was getting frustrated with the lack of results. The technology involved a new type of water filter that made tap water taste better than bottled water. It was a simple promise. The team had lots of technical data that showed how much purer their water was. They had charts showing how much money a person would save using this filter instead of buying bottled water. They also had an impressive presentation on how much better for the environment it was. But there was one thing missing. They had no data to show that the filtered water tasted better than bottled water. I asked, well, how much better does it taste? They had no answers. How long would it take to find out, I asked. Well, a taste test takes 3 weeks, the market research person explained. 3 weeks? How about 30 minutes, I asked. The researcher responded, that's impossible. I said, well, what if we change our approach? I'm guessing 500, if not 1,000 people work in this multi-building office complex. And in about an hour and a half, they will all be going for lunch. What if we set up a table outside the cafeteria? We could have people test our filtered water and one of the best-selling bottled waters. In 30 minutes, I'm guessing we could get a decent feeling of how we stack up. The response was the team was nearly violent. They didn't want to run the test. They couldn't, they wouldn't. And their spin was worthy of the worst of politicians. Their whining matched the worst of a terrible two-year-old. It was clear there was a problem they weren't mentioning. I sensed that each of them instinctively felt that the technology was not as good as promised. They knew that the technical results of purity, while impressive, did not result in better tasting water. And frankly, it might actually result in water that actually tasted worse. Sadly, the conversation that day was about a year too late. The company management was out of patience, and the team was out of time, energy, and money to adapt. The project was soon canceled. But it didn't have to be that way. If early in the process they had run lots of small taste tests, they could have found out where they stood. They could have used this feedback to continually improve their filtering process to optimize taste. The project might have been saved. By knowing where you are strong and weak, you can problem solve. Not knowing where you stand can cause you to fiddle and tamper with your innovation based on guesses and hunches. A need for faster and cheaper research led us to building advanced research tools. The Innovation Engineering Institute team didn't intend to build advanced research tools. In fact, we avoided it for some time because of the level of investment required. However, we quickly discovered that given the design of commercially available research tool, it was almost impossible for our students, both on and off campus, to run rapid cycles of plan, do, study, act learning that were cost-efficient, disciplined, and statistically reliable. Online do-it-yourself survey tools were fast, however, they lacked the intelligence to guide the students in smart test design and statistical analysis. Without rapid research, employees can't make smart innovation decisions. This is not a new problem. Lloyd Dobbins reported in the Deming Library video series, quote, "In one group of 300 Ford company workers in the early 1980s, only six of them could identify their customer." Dr. Deming then explains, quote, "How can you do your work if you don't know how the customer is going to use it? The simplest task is not defined by procedures. It's defined by the use that's going to be made of your work." The Merwin Rapid Research Tool Suite enables all employees to get qualitative and quantitative feedback on their idea. The world record for rapid research was a 4-day Innovation Engineering Accelerator project in which some 407 research tests were conducted. They were split about 50-50 between qualitative and quantitative. Most important, 100% were disciplined and documented. The result of this was the highest sales forecast fueled by the highest concept tests ever achieved. Here's a quick list of the Merwin Rapid Research tools for doing research faster and at lower cost. 1. Insight mining. This tool is used to ignite the creation of smarter innovations. It's a simple test that allows the testing of up to 12 customer problems and/or idea starters. The output from the test includes graphic display of results, statistical testing, demographic and psychographic correlations to identify who relates to each problem or idea starter. Best of all, it's done automatically. The test can be set up in 5 minutes, and all statistical testing and report generation is done through intelligent software systems. A video crosstab module allows for easy capture of customer perceptions using a smartphone or tablet. This is perfect for use at trade shows or by frontline field staff. 2. Idea Coach. This is the fastest way to improve your yellow card. The system is an artificial intelligence engine that reads your concept and benchmarks it on standards that are predictive of success. The system then provides ideas and advice in a low-stress, non-confrontational basis. The inventor of an idea can run the idea through Idea Coach repeatedly to get advice for improving it. Participants say that Idea Coach improves their idea by an average of 40%. 3. Idea doubling. When employees get stuck on what to do with their innovation, concept, or math, idea doubling opens them up to fresh ideas. The system allows them to send a yellow card concept or math game plan to pre-established panels inside or outside the company for ideas and advice. In minutes, there are fresh ideas and options for name, headline, customer, problem, promise, proof, pricing, or each element of the math game plan to spark fresh ideas. 4. Trailblazer Delphi. This is a simple-to-execute system for effectively accessing the collective intelligence of a work team, department, or group of experts. It enables employees to explore bold ideas by reducing uncertainty and increasing confidence. Classic uses include quantifying the potential for disruptive leap innovations, forecasting future trends, and estimating development timing, technical challenges, and competitive reactions. 5. Idea Scan. This is a calibrated system for idea evaluation that provides feedback from innovation team members or management against validated standards. It's a simple-to-execute system that involves sending the yellow card for feedback and gathering calibrated scoring on the idea, plus ideas and advice for improvement. IdeaScan is very addictive. It enables rapid cycles of concept improvement. When run before a management review meeting, it drives out waste by reducing rework and focusing the conversation. 6. Truth Teller. This is the smartest concept and sales forecasting system in the world. It's based on a patented artificial intelligence system. It involves scoring your idea by 5 calibrated concept raters on 50 plus market validated factors. It's not an easy test. It predicts, as happens in reality, that most innovations fail. That said, it is the single most truthful test I've ever experienced. One study found it was 7 times smarter than executives at picking winning innovations. It also directly inputs into the risk-adjusted Monte Carlo sales forecasting system. 7. Rapid Test. More important than reaction to the written innovation concepts is customer reaction after having used or tried your new or improved product, service, or system. Rapid Test makes it easy to gather customer reaction to both your idea and the actual offering or prototype. Testing can be done in a single product or paired comparison basis depending on your goals. You get a graphical display of results, statistical testing, correlations versus demographics and psychographics, plus video crosstabs. With pre-established email panels or online testing, you can generate a statistically significant test sample in as little as 90 minutes. 8. Diffusion of innovation powered 5-year sales forecast. In today's digital-driven marketplace, word-of-mouth diffusion is often more important than marketing spending. When an innovation has high scores on Meaningfully Unique, it has the potential to ignite a chain reaction of growth. This proprietary model blends a Fort Woodlock trial and repeat model with a Bass diffusion modeling of word of mouth. An integrated Monte Carlo simulation provides you with graphical reporting on the probability of various levels of sales, profits, and unit sales. The result is frontline employees can conduct unlimited Plan, Do, Study, Act forecasting cycles to optimize their idea and the true business opportunity. All of the tools listed above are invaluable when working on new or improved products and services. They are equally valuable when pursuing innovation system innovations inside your organization. Asking for feedback from employees makes you smarter and also tells them that you care about their opinions. What I have learned about rapid research. I've been involved in the testing of tens of thousands of innovation concepts. The 4 most important things I've learned fielding innovation research are 1, discipline in research design, fielding, and analysis. Sweating the details of a research test is critical if you are to get data that is reliable. This is not hard. However, it does require some education. With innovation engineering, we have engineered intelligence into our systems to make it easy to do the right things. If you are doing it yourself, please, please get someone who understands statistics to help you design, implement, and analyze the research. I caution you on the use of online market research panels. There are published studies that show they are highly variable based on factors that are rarely controlled. I oftentimes will use them at an early stage to give direction, so long as they are fast and cheap. However, as projects move forward and the decisions are more important, it's my belief that face-to-face quantitative interviews or systems like Truth Teller are much more reliable. And today, we often find it's actually cheaper to do face-to-face interviews if you have a system than it is to do online research. 2. Feel the research. If discipline is the logical left brain aspect of research, feeling the data is the right brain visualization. I strongly believe that you can't do research analysis or reviews remotely. The more you see, feel, and touch the data, the deeper your understanding becomes. I recognize that this is not for everyone. Classically, it has required understanding how to run statistical analysis programs, or at least a spreadsheet for sorting and resorting data. To make it easier, we have incorporated some point-and-click crosstab analysis and forecasting capabilities so that anyone who is willing can get a feel for the numbers and their interaction. Multiple times over the past 35 years, after I've done statistical analysis, I have visualized an answer to a very important challenge. My subconscious mind has worked through the data and provided me the structure of a solution. The process consists of three steps. One, immerse in the data. Two, visualize hypotheses. And three, validate hypotheses through additional analysis or experimentation. The statistical models behind the Truth Teller and Idea Scan tools were invented in this very way. If feeling the data is too painful for you, then feel the qualitative inputs. Watch videos repeatedly of those who like and dislike your idea. Feel the pain of your customers by experiencing how your offering and competitive offerings perform. Observe and listen to what customers feel. Over the years, I've spent hours doing things such as watching butter being purchased in grocery stores, working at a funeral home, following pork from farm to plate, experiencing technical products in action, and feeling the pain of service people working without the proper tools. In each case, visualization was useful in helping me make sense of the thousands of qualitative inputs I'd gathered. This concept of visualization of ideas is something that Apple co-founder Steve Jobs also practiced, as reported in his biography by Walter Isaacson. Quote, "If you just sit and observe, you will see how restless your mind is. If you try to calm it, it only makes things worse. But over time, it does calm. And when it does, there's room to hear more subtle things. That's when your intuition starts to blossom, and you start to see things more clearly and be in the present mind. Your mind just slows down, and you see a tremendous expanse in the movement. You see so much more than you could see before. It's a discipline. You have to practice it." 3. Truth. In the case of qualitative and quantitative research, we must continually challenge ourselves on the validity of our conclusions. We need to remember that qualitative data has high variance. We need to remember that 95% significance does not mean 100%. If you have 100 factors that you analyze, random dice rolls will result in about 5 that show up as significant as a result of random chance. The challenge is to know which are meaningful and which are not. The same is true with cause and effect. Statistics just indicate that the variables are related. It is up to the researcher to determine if it's an actionable cause and effect. When evaluating rapid research results, I ask myself, is this research design, execution, and analysis of such a convincing character that I would be willing to rely and act upon it without hesitation in the most important of my own affairs? In effect, I combine discipline with my gut feel for a whole brain decision on taking action. Note that much has been made about Steve Jobs' disdain for classic market research. However, while he didn't do quantitative tests, we learn in Isaacson's biography that he had well over 100 people whom he would bounce ideas off of. With that number of people, there is a discipline and a feeling that he achieved that provides the same truth beyond a reasonable doubt of the largest of quantitative research studies. 4. Most company success standards for innovations are way too low. This is arguably the most important insight over the past 10 years. When evaluating innovations, it is common to compare test results versus success norms. These norms are developed based on minimum level needed to achieve success in the marketplace. And for many years, these norms have stayed stable. However, the world has changed. Innovation success rates have gone down. Thinking about this, we developed the hypothesis that in today's world, to break through the clutter, and to generate word-of-mouth diffusion, decision standards needed to be increased. We ran a test of a wide range of innovations that were new to the marketplace. We asked people how meaningful and unique they were using the purchase intent and new and different questions. A few weeks later, we contacted them to see if they had purchased and if they had told others about each of the ideas. Our research found that there was a threshold where word-of-mouth diffusion grew dramatically. When the news value of your idea is above 6, that's weighting purchase intent 60% and uniqueness 40%, the odds of customers telling others about your innovation, that is through word-of-mouth diffusion, goes up exponentially. The research found that if we took the success standard from 6.0 to 7.5, we could more than double our odds of word-of-mouth diffusion. Our hypothesis was confirmed. What was good enough before is not anymore. To win in today's marketplace, research test standards need to be increased. The good news is that when you do, you have a greater chance of setting off the all-important word-of-mouth chain reaction that generates massive awareness, sales, and profits. So what did you learn? What surprised you about the new mindset on rapid research? What confirmed what you already knew? Think of a time when research aided your judgment. Think of a time when you avoided conducting quantitative research and it cost you. How many times does your average innovation get quantitatively tested on its way to market? Do you have a conservative organization that is committed to data-based decisions? Does your organization approach innovation as a gamble, making decisions on judgment? Are your test methods state-of-the-art? And what would it take to upgrade them?